It's River to River from Iowa Public Radio News. I'm Ben Kiefer, finishing up the hour from geopolitics to, particle physics. We have light topics today on our program. Well, remember, you know, the makeup of the universe of matter, protons, neutrons, electrons. Well, we found out in recent years that's not the whole story. What about quarks or other classes of particles with different properties and functions? You also may have heard of the Large Hadron Collider. It's the world's largest particle accelerator. Now, inside the 17 miles round underground collider near Geneva, Switzerland, protons race at nearly the speed of light, and they collide with the aim of better understanding the stuff that makes the world and the fundamental composition of matter. This half hour, I want to talk with two scientists at Iowa State University who've been working on a project with the Large Hadron Collider. Jim Cochran is with us, Iowa State University professor in the Department of Physics and Astronomy. Jim, welcome to the program.
Thanks. Thank you very much. Happy to be here.
Soren Prell is also a professor at Iowa State University in the Department of Physics and Astronomy. Thank you for coming in as well, Soren.
It's great to be here. Thank you for having me.
Let me start with you, Jim Cochran. Tell us a little bit more about the work at the Large Hadron Collider, something we've heard in our news, but most of us don't know really a heck of a lot about. What's going on there, and what is it trying to discover?
So, I mean, the idea is to, you know, better understand the universe, and we have this view of the world that we call the Standard Model, and it works great. It describes everything that we see, but we have good reason to believe that it's not the final story. And what we are basically trying to do is to find where it's broken or where it doesn't work, and this will give us new insights into the future, what lies beyond. Mm-hmm. As far as the practical work, it's the collaboration that we work on is 3,000 people, and there's a tremendous amount of work to do, and we never have quite enough people to do all the work that's needed. Mm-hmm. But the detector is very large and a lot of technical.
You're talking about ATLAS. So you're the deputy manager of the U.S. ATLAS Operations Program. What do you mean by a detector?
So you mentioned about the protons colliding. So what happens is when they collide, we have to look at those collisions. So when they collide, lots of particles come out, and we have this five-story detector that sits underground that basically running at 40 megahertz, 40 million times a second, basically takes a picture of these collisions and we analyze that.
Mm. Okay. Soren, help us understand a little bit more about your work, ISU's work, as involves the Large Hadron Collider.
One of the biggest achievements of the Large Hadron Collider so far was the discovery of the Higgs boson. Mm-hmm. There was a particle predicted by the Standard Model, but we didn't know if it would exist, and we didn't know if the Standard Model is correct. So the main purpose was to discover the Standard Model and discover the Higgs boson. And
So this was a particle. Higgs boson was a particle that existed in theory only until just a couple of years ago, until 2012, right?
That's correct. In 2012, ATLAS and CMS together discovered the Higgs boson. And we don't produce it and then we have it and lay it around and look at it. It decays right away. So we are constantly producing Higgs bosons and learning more about it, in which ways it decays and in which way it relates to other particles and in which way it relates to the physics of the universe.
Mm-hmm. And so is that why it was so hard to discover, to prove, take it out of theoretical into provable existence because it exists for such little time?
In part. The other big part of the problem was we didn't have, before the Large Hadron Collider, we didn't have a powerful enough collider to produce Higgs bosons in enough quantity to study them. Mm-hmm. So when the Large Hadron Collider was built along with its detectors, we finally had an opportunity to produce and record the collisions and understand it in detail.
Mm-hmm. So take me back to what I started out with. Most of us grasp or hold on to our high school ideas of protons, neutrons, and electrons. We kind of picture that three-dimensional model of a molecule. What's been added to that, or is that model completely off these days?
So the protons are not, as far as we know today, are not the most fundamental particles. The proton itself is a composed particle, and it's made up of so-called quarks. And in addition to the proton and the electron, the electron, for example, has heavier siblings, if you want. They have similar particles, but with different masses. And so we have now, if you wish, a miniature periodic system of the elements for quarks and electron types. And so that has changed since the protons and neutrons that is currently being taught.
So if you modeled this out, enlarged it, and made it into a model the size of a basketball, if you could, could you do that? There would just be more elements than the three, that the protons, neutrons, and electrons?
It's actually not that different. There are six types of quarks and six types of electron-type particles. So we're only talking about 12 particles total. So that's why I said it's a pretty small periodic table, if you want. Mm. And in addition to those, we often talk about the messenger particles that create forces, interactions between particles, like the electromagnetic interaction, which is responsible for electricity and magnetism.
Mm. Okay.
And it's not to say that your previous model of just proton, neutron, electron is wrong. It's simply not complete, and that there's some substructure to that we, you know, only mm-hmm. in the past 50 years or so have been able to
Okay,
recover.
So now we're up to 12 particles in that model, in that structure, molecules. Do we know how much more there is to discover, Jim?
Well, I mean, as I mentioned, we have the standard model, and everything that we have observed thus far agrees with it. You know, mm-hmm. anything that we expect beyond that is new physics and a very exciting, and that would be a huge deal for science.
Jim, let's talk more specifically, Jim and Soren, about ISU's work there. Let me remind our audience that I'm with Soren Prell and Jim Cochran. They're both professors at Iowa State University in the Department of Physics and Astronomy, and both work with the Large Hadron Collider. That's in Switzerland. It's huge. I read, is this true, Jim, the largest machine in the world, 17 miles around in this sort of loop, this racetrack underground, right?
I believe that's correct. If there is a larger machine, I'm not aware of it.
Okay. So you have both been there numerous times. Jim, tell us, what is it like to go there?
I mean, for my bureaucratic job, I actually have to go there about 10 times a year. I mean, it's basically like a large college campus full of physicists. It's probably the best way I can describe it. Now, going down into the where the detector is, or into the accelerator, that's a very unique experience. It's this sort of James Bondish experience, right? Where, you know, you're 100 meters underground and you're next to this five-story, you know, looks like a building, with, you know, lots of exquisite electronics, you know, wires and everything coming out of all over the place. So it's a pretty impressive experience.
So, Soren, does it make a sound? Do you hear collisions? Anything that easy to understand?
As humans, we are not going close to the accelerator when it is taking data and operating, because there's a high level of radiation. So we are not actually listening to it. We are analyzing the results of the collisions read out by electronic pulses of our detectors.
Mm-hmm. So Soren, tell me a little bit. I understand you have some research that has to do with dark matter, acquaintance with dark matter, and what your research focused on.
So going back to your previous question where you asked, is this all particles that we know about? We have very good reason to believe that there's more in the universe than just the particles that we know about today. In fact, we think that 80% of the matter in the universe is made of stuff that we have no idea what it is. And it has become known under the name of dark matter. We know from it by looking at the universe. If you look at distant galaxies with a telescope, you can look at the stars, and you see the stars in your telescope, and you see them orbiting around the center of a galaxy. And based on the mass of those stars, you can calculate how fast those stars should be moving. And it is a big puzzle that they are moving at a very different speed as one would calculate based on their masses and our understanding of gravity.
They're moving too fast?
So.
And out away from, away, so, exploding.
So they are moving too fast, and depending on how far away they are from the center of the galaxy, they are not moving in the right pattern as one would expect. Mm-hmm. And so one can, a model to explain this is if the galaxy had a lot more matter than is visible through the telescope. And none of the known matter would qualify for providing this. And because you cannot see it, we call it dark matter. But it's just a name. We really don't know what it is.
And it hasn't been proven to really exist yet, as we were talking about earlier with the Higgs boson. It hasn't been proven.
That's correct. We only know about it from cosmological observations. But there are several models which say that if it is a specific type of new particle, there might be a chance that the Large Hadron Collider could produce it in the laboratory and that we could study it right there. And so a big part of the study of the Large Hadron Collider is search for dark matter and see if we can learn more about it.
Mm-hmm. So, Soren, will we be hearing in an Iowa State University press release soon that you have proven and located dark matter?
that would be nice.
No comment.
No comment, Jim. Why not? That's Nobel Prize and then some worthy, right?
Oh, sure. That would be, as I said, a huge deal.
Jim, tell us a little bit about the next big thing that you see among particle physicists. What is out there? We had the discovery of Higgs boson in 2012. What is the current holy grail among you folk?
Well, as I mentioned earlier, I mean, I think we don't really know. I mean, dark matter is certainly something that likely would exist. I mean, unless there's something really wrong with gravity, it's most likely some kind of new particle. But you know, at this point, we just don't know. But we're basically driven by experiment at this point. I mean, our field goes through cycles where, you know, sometimes we have so much new stuff and we have no idea what it is and we require theory to kind of figure everything out and you know, come up with a new view. But now we're in a mode where, you know, the theorists have produced many things, but none of them we have seen. So the next big thing is we don't know, but we're pretty sure there is something.
Mm-hmm. What is it like to visit the Large Hadron Collider, to be among so many smart people from so many countries working together? You know, do the political differences between countries sort of disappear? You're all particle scientists?
They really do. And I have to say, this is one of the really quite wonderful things about going there, right? Because you have many nations of the world where the countries don't get along and don't have relations, but those people can very well be working side by side on an analysis, you know, and people there work very hard, as you might imagine. They're, you know, typical graduate students and postdocs. So they work a lot and, you know, for the most part, everybody gets along and do their science.
Mm-hmm. That collider is huge. We think perhaps the largest machine ever created in a circular pattern, almost 17 miles around that these particles race in. Soren, is this adequate to test everything we want to find out about the makeup of the universe? Or will we have to build an even larger collider in the future?
There are certainly discussions going on and plans on what the next collider should be. One thing that I'm sure the viewers have heard of is the Einstein's relations of energy equals mass times speed of light squared. Mm-hmm. So the more energy our collider has, the more massive particle we can create in these collisions. And it could be that dark matter, which is 80% of the universe, it could be that it's not just one single particle. It could be a whole zoo of particles. And some of them might be accessible at the Large Hadron Colliders. And for some, to understand the full picture, you may want the next generation machine to do that.
Did you say a whole zoo of particles?
That's what I said.
I love that picture that we might be able to someday, in some form, go to a particle zoo and then really get an idea of what is in this cage compared to the other cage. But I suppose we couldn't do that.
That's our dream.
Tell me a little bit more about what you hope to achieve there in the future, in the couple minutes that we have. Quantum computing, perhaps. You can tell us a little bit about quantum computing. And if that is possible.
I mean, clearly quantum computing is possible.
What is it, though? Just remind us.
Oh, So typically your computer has bits of ones and zeros. And in a quantum computer, basically, you're able to have any variation between a one and a zero. And I'm probably not qualified to speak in any great detail on quantum computing. But right now, it's experimental, and it's not, you know, there's no practical use yet, as far as I understand. Mm-hmm. Maybe Soren actually has more on that. I think he included that in his course at some point.
Perhaps I can go back to the original question you asked: what we think about the future. When you think about, we've just learned the Higgs boson 5 years ago. That's what we saw it the first time, and so there's. Dark matter might be a completely different type of matter that we will learn a lot more, hopefully, in the near future. We are at a stage now where we were with the electron about 100 years ago. When the electron was discovered, nobody thought about how you can use electricity in the myriad ways that we are doing today. So we are just exploring what the materials that we are working with. We really cannot predict what it will be used for in the future.
Okay. Very good. We'll leave it there. Thank you very much for sharing your research, making it accessible to us. Jim Cochran, Iowa State University professor in the Department of Physics and Astronomy. Soren Prell, also in the Department of Physics and Astronomy, a professor there as well. Thank you for coming into our studio in tribute to your work. This is They Might Be Giants, Particle Man. I don't know if you know this tune.
I know this song.
Jim and Soren, thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for having us.
It was a pleasure.
Triangle Man hates Particle Man. They have a fight. Triangle wins. Triangle Man.
River to River is produced by Ben Stanton, Emily Woodbury, and Lindsay Moon with help from Robbie Broad. Catherine Perkins is our executive producer. I'm Ben Kiefer. Thanks for joining us.
Universe Man, Universe Man. Size of the entire universe, man. Usually kind to smaller man. Universe Man. He's got a watch with a minute.